Welcome back. You're listening to Chat with Women, and this is Pam.
Hi, this is Rochelle.
And now joining us is Dr. Leah McNeil, who has been a regular contributor on Chat with Women for a long time, I think about 15, 16 months. And she brings some information to us that we're all just starving for. And today we're going to talk about thyroid, which is very important. So welcome, Dr. Leah.
Good morning.
Now, before we get into the show, we do have a question from a caller, and I want to let everyone know I'm going to give out the numbers, because if you have a question for Dr. Leah as we're going through this process, please call, because that's what we're here for. We want to answer your questions. We're all confused. That's why we want to talk about this. The numbers are 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569. So, Benny, what was the question again, sweetheart?
Let's see here. Her question was in regards to iodine. It's being involved, you know, with thyroid.
Yes.
And are there adequate tests, or are there tests to prove inadequacies or adequacies around that? Like, if we're taking too much, if we're taking too little?
Yes, there are.
Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's not a blood test, which is the easiest way to do it.
Right.
It's actually a urine test, a 24-hour urine challenge test, where you take a certain amount of iodine, usually 50 milligrams, and you see how much you eliminate in a 24-hour period. Because if you have adequate levels in your body, if you take 50 milligrams, you should see like 45 coming out in your urine.
Mm.
But if you're deficient, your body's going to take up all that iodine, and maybe you'll only pee out 5 or 10 milligrams or 15, you know, so that shows that you're deficient.
And how do you get iodine? As I understood it, the only way you get iodine was from the salt.
Yeah.
But we don't necessarily use that salt anymore.
Right.
We
don't
use kosher salt for cooking because it's bigger grains and it's, you know, there's all this other
sea
salt.
Why don't you use any?
You know, oh, that's right. And she doesn't use
any. Because I can't have sodium.
She's got
disease. Right. Yeah, see, salt is the main source, but seaweed.
Uh-oh.
Which is, you know, which is wrapped with
sushi.
The sushi, the kombu, the nori, those forms. It's
okay.
In fish and shellfish, but
it is.
Living close to the coast, there is more iodine in the air as well. But still, even with that, I see people that are iodine deficient.
So if I'm low on iodine, will it affect my thyroid?
It could, but it depends on where you live. The goiter belt is the Midwest. Around the Great Lakes is the worst area, and people that live in those areas, grew up in those areas, can have a much more of a tendency to be iodine deficient. But I've seen people living out here, although there's a lot of people from Iowa and different areas out here that grew up there and moved here, and they are iodine deficient. And that can affect thyroid. It can cause goiter. That's kind of the classic symptom is goiter, which is an enlargement of the thyroid.
Okay, so that's lack of iodine will cause that.
Yes. Yes.
So and how serious is that? Is that life debilitating?
It's correctable, and actually that's why they added iodine back in the 20s.
Really?
To prevent goiter, but there wasn't enough added, and it used to be in bread. That was the main thing they put in bread, but they switched it with bromide. And bromide binds iodine, and so you have a double whammy. They've taken the iodine out, and they added something that binds it, so it makes it worse.
So I have to eat seaweed? Is that what you're telling me?
Seaweed's the best source.
I like sushi. I like sushi.
It is the best source.
Look at her
fish
face.
Also.
If we had cameras, you'd see my face.
But iodine also is really important to prevent breast cancer.
Really?
The number one gland that concentrates iodine is our thyroid. The second is our breast tissue. So they've also seen an increased risk of breast cancer in women that are iodine deficient. So that's important, too.
Oh, then it is important.
Yeah.
It's really important. So they come in for a test.
So they either, they come in and you give them something for this test, and then you'll diagnose what's going on?
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
And the test, honestly, is not, a lot of people aren't very good at doing the test, because if they miss one of the 24 hours of peeing, you know, they miss one, then it messes up the whole test. They have to do it again. So I haven't found the compliance very good.
Oh.
Honestly, so I haven't done a lot. And if someone prevents with a goiter and low thyroid, I just put them on iodine. I put them on not a really high dose, but a much higher dose than what's normal. Yes.
There's a pill, there's an iodine tyrosine. Let's point that out. Everything is natural that Dr. Leah does.
Yeah.
So that it's not harmful.
Right.
Can you get too much iodine?
Certainly you can. Mm-hmm. Well, in fact, sometimes really high doses can suppress thyroid or make you hyper. So you have to watch that really carefully. And there's an iodine, there's another iodine challenge test where you take a drop of iodine solution. It's Lugol's or it's a certain type of iodine. And you put it on your skin. Mm-hmm. And I usually have this at my office. And I have them rub it in and it should stay there for about 12 to 18 hours. Mm. If it absorbs before then you're deficient. Oh. So that's kind of not scientific, but it's been used a lot to see how iodine deficient you are. Most people, in a few hours, it's gone.
Okay, I'm going to show how old I am. But in the olden days, when we were little, in grammar school, and we fell, wasn't there iodine mm-hmm. that was bright
yes.
red that they put
yeah.
on
well, betadine.
Or scratch?
Betadine, that they use in surgery. They swab you with
yes.
betadine.
Right.
That's iodine.
Okay.
The brownness of that is from the iodine. That's why one of the reasons they took it out of breads, because it's made the bread dark brown. And it wasn't very appealing. You know, white bread was a much
right.
better thing. So the iodine is dark.
Okay.
Is very dark. And so that's, it'll stain your skin, but that stain should stay there. That's one
okay.
of the tests.
That's what you're saying, the stain should
good.
Stay there.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Very good to know.
Okay, well, let's go back to, we need to understand, what does the thyroid do for the body?
Yes, it's actually one of the things that's called as the master gland.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our pituitary is the ultimate controller.
She's pointing to her head when
right,
she
I'm
says
pointing
that.
To my temple going, the pituitary, which is this little pea-like or bean-like structure inside the brain. And it controls a lot of different organs in our body. One of the things it helps to control is the thyroid. It makes a hormone called TSH.
What is TSH?
It's thyroid stimulating hormone. And actually, a lot of doctors just check that. They look at your thyroid and they say, oh, your TSH is fine. You know, your thyroid's just perfect. But the TSH is the hormone coming from the pituitary, and it's basically telling the thyroid to make T4. So
and
if
what's
the
T4
is what the thyroid makes. That's the hormone the thyroid makes.
What does it do? What does the thyroid do for me?
The thyroid regulates your metabolism.
Regulates my metabolism.
And so it kind of keeps it revved up or slows it down.
Oh,
or, you know,
okay.
It kind of helps to regulate it up and down. When you lose a lot of weight really fast, actually your thyroid metabolism drops because it thinks you're starving and you're losing weight too fast. And so it actually slows down. That's why you get the plateau with weight loss quite often. But if you lose weight at a slower rate, the thyroid doesn't go, whoa, you know, you're starving.
Well, that's interesting because you wonder why people go on plateaus because they're trying to do it too fast.
That's one reason. I mean, there's some other factors, but that's one reason. It also controls your body temperature. One of the things, I mean, there's some other minor factors that control body temperature, but thyroid, if you're cold all the time, that it could be a thyroid problem. You can be more constipated if your thyroid's low, so it helps to control the rate of your bowel movements.
The thyroid controls that?
It does.
Isn't that bizarre?
It does a lot of things. It controls hair growth. So when women have had a baby, for example, and their thyroid goes all wacko after they have a baby,
right.
their hair falls out kind of as part of that process of recovery.
Right.
But also our hair can fall out with menopause or hormones dropping or estrogen and progesterone dropping. It can, if you
well,
have an autoimmune disease, yeah, your hair can fall out.
Did
now,
you hear
male
that?
Pattern baldness is separate. You
right.
know, a lot of men think, that's why I'm losing
but
hair.
You're saying,
like, no.
you're saying because your hair doesn't, dropping out is just not thyroid. It could be that your hormones...
It could be, but it's something to definitely look at, is the thyroid function. Because when women say, my hair is just coming out in clumps, it's usually thyroid.
That was me, folks.
It could be adrenals. I mean, it could be some other stuff, too, that's causing it. So it does that. It helps keep our skin moist.
It does.
And so dry skin
can be low
thyroid. We know
that because that's one of the reasons I just went in, is my skin has seemed drier. And I'm on 60 milligrams of thyroid, have been on for quite some time.
Although estrogen is a great component of our skin elasticity and our
estrogen too, right?
Yeah, so
right.
that's important. But dropping estrogen can affect thyroid. So
see, it's just too complicated. It's all interrelated. It's unbelievable.
Well, yeah, nothing is by itself in our body. Everything affects everything, and I call it the hormone dance. If you're doing a square dance
right.
with all these different hormones, and one of them is off, or one of them sitting off to the side, then it throws off the whole pattern. And
sure.
that's true with the thyroid. It can't just be by itself.
Well, okay, so you've given some symptoms of some things happening, but now, just because my hair is falling out doesn't mean I have a thyroid problem. How do I know if I have a thyroid problem?
A blood test is the best way to check it. Mm. But honestly, anybody with a thyroid problem, I always check their adrenals as well, because those two really work together closely.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when people have thyroid problems and their adrenals look okay, mm-hmm. you treat their thyroid and occasionally it can cause their adrenals to drop. Because it's like you're treating the leaf, not the roots of the plant, in a sense. So you have to do both. And so, for you know, it might be that we need to look at your adrenals.
Now, didn't you do that before? And you were, didn't you do the testing of the with Rochelle? And wasn't it that they were high at night and they shouldn't have been high?
Right.
But what was she supposed to take to make sure it was lower?
Well, for her adrenals, she's talking about adrenals. And when cortisol's high at night, there's some enzymes to take to lower cortisol so that you sleep better and so that you, and actually increase risk for breast cancer with high cortisol at night. But it just helps you sleep better and helps your metabolism and a whole bunch of things, so, which can affect your thyroid.
So confusing,
balance.
Well, like she said, there's so much that can happen within our body. It all, it's the square dance.
Exactly.
I love that terminology.
That's why I have to look at the whole body. Yeah. I don't just look at thyroid.
Well, and more often than not, too, like recently I did the spit test. So I had to spit into these little containers to check all of that, because a lot of times with the blood test, when you check hormones, I might be fine at 3 o'clock, but what if, maybe I wasn't okay at 10 o'clock in the morning. So there are ways to really, and it, but it's more often than, you know, once a year, because as we go into this menopausal state, pre, post, whatever, don't we, everything changing all the time? How often do we need to get checked?
Changing a lot. Well, with adrenals, if somebody does have issues with their adrenals, like if your cortisol's low, which is much more classic, I'll check that every 4 months.
Wow. What does that mean if your cortisol is low? What does that mean?
Well, cortisol is our get-up-and-go hormone, I call it.
Our get-up-and-go. If you have no energy.
Stimulating. It is. It's a very stimulating hormone.
Ah.
And when it's low chronically, it will affect thyroid, but it affects your energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's cortisol is a great anti-inflammatory, so low levels will cause more inflammation in your body. And it's just, you can be depressed and you're just blah, you know. It's your cup of coffee. I call it your cup of coffee in the morning. It should be highest in the morning and lowest at night. So that you can sleep.
And not the reverse.
Not the reverse, or you'll be all geared up and get your second wind and keep on going and won't sleep.
You know what I find? I find if I don't go to bed between the hour of 9 and 9:30, then I'm up.
She gets the second wind.
I get my second wind.
Yep.
But if I turn the lights out between 9 and 9:30, I'm gone.
That's good.
And it's great.
And then you sleep all night.
Yeah. But I had to, you know, go through this process
to realize this.
So it was just a test of my body.
Well, I want to let everyone know we're talking to Dr. Leah McNeil, and we are talking about thyroid today. And I want to give out the phone numbers, because I think if I was out there and knew I could get some advice on what to do, because we're all just wanting to, like we've said earlier, we just want to feel good. We want to sleep good. We just want the energy. And this is a complicated process.
Mm-hmm.
So 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569. We are talking to Dr. Leah McNeil about thyroid. We'll be right back. Pam and Rochelle here. Name two businesses that would be ideal sponsors on your favorite morning radio show, Chat with Women.
You thought of another? Then come join our team. We need you, a sales executive, to help businesses showcase their products on our show and website.
Just send us an email to info@chatwithwomen.com.
Chatwithwomen.com is waiting for you to join the best gal pal talk show around.
This is a public service announcement from Janet and Narion Balto.
Take a moment to stop and listen. What is the power that makes your heart beat, your mind think, the air flow through your lungs?
Show your enthusiasm. Sing, dance, celebrate. We're being asked at this time to acknowledge life. and our connection to all that is. This is Living Music.
Janet and Ariane Balzo are conscious contemporary musicians and hosts of Living Music Radio.
LivingMusicRadio.com.
Hi, everybody. Darren Leonardson here, executive chef of Toscano-inspired cuisine and Panini's Bistro and Wine Bar in Bellevue. We only use the freshest locally grown produce, highest quality meats and seafood to create our signature Mediterranean and Italian-inspired cuisine. Whether it's lunch, dinner, happy hour, or Sunday breakfast, Toscano and Panini's are your neighborhood restaurants. You can phone us at 425-460-6260 or visit our website at ToscanoCuisine.com. Come join us. The only missing ingredient is you.
Renton Business Professional Women and Chat with Women are hosting the Renton Women's Show on April 17th and 18th in downtown Renton from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. 50 vendors to shop from, daily fashion shows, speakers, and dinner auction with proceeds benefiting BPW Women's Scholarships. First 100 women each day will receive a valuable gift bag. For more information, visit RentonBPW.org. That's RentonBPW.org.
1150KKNW.com, your connection to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Chat with Women, and I'm Pam.
See, this might fuel the fire. I'm wearing
your headphones. We have a wonderful doggy in the studio today named Tanner, and it's about the size of maybe a little plate.
It's just a pituitary gland.
It's just the most adorable. When we have cameras, we'll be able to show
Tanner.
It's Dr. Leah's dog, and it doesn't even bark.
It's the most precious dog in the world.
Say hi, Tanner.
We are talking to Dr. Leah McNeil, and we're talking about thyroid, and we have a caller, Benny.
Yes, let's take Debbie from Seattle. She has a great question.
Hi.
Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning.
Hi, Debbie. We have to put our ear. Hold on, Debbie. Wait, don't ask it yet. Okay, now ask. Go ahead. What's that question?
Okay, my question is, can thyroid help with long-standing rainouts? I mean, this is something that's been going on for years, and I've read articles that said in some situations it helps.
That's a great question, Debbie, because our thyroid does help with our heat or our temperature, it's possible that it can help with Raynaud's, but a lot of times Raynaud's is a problem with the blood vessels in the fingers. And actually, for those of you that don't know, Raynaud's is when the tips of your fingers or even your toes can turn white or even purple sometimes because the blood vessels in there spasm and they close and then they flush red after a while.
Okay.
But 90% of people with Raynaud's don't have any thyroid problem necessarily, or they don't have any other disease process. But sometimes, like 10% of the time, it can be from an autoimmune process, like scleroderma or something. So I always, with somebody with chronic Raynaud's, I always rule out that there's an autoimmune process going on. Thyroid might help, though. I mean, it definitely can help with temperature, but it doesn't necessarily help with blood flow. So those are two different things, and I would recommend you definitely getting that checked as far as that you don't have an autoimmune disease, but definitely get your thyroid checked.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Debbie, for calling. Dr. Leah, give out your information so that if somebody is listening, they can contact you.
Yeah, I'm in Bellevue at 425-452-9366, and my website is naturalmedicineforhealth.com, and you can always find me on chatwithwomen.com as well.
Now, I want to ask, this is what we're talking about, a break. Let's just say that I'm going to my gynecologist and I say to him, you know, please check my thyroid, which is what happened to me many years ago, just because I thought I want to know. And he'd say, your thyroid's fine. So I go to a natural doctor and she goes, no, your thyroid isn't fine, and I get put on thyroid. So what's the difference? Why would my gynecologist say I'm fine, but then I go to a natural doctor and she says I'm not fine? Well, I don't understand the difference.
That's a key point in thyroid health. And a lot of naturopaths and lots of some medical doctors too will look at optimal function of the thyroid or other organs in the body. And when we say you're hypothyroid and somebody else doesn't, that means that we're looking at the full panel of thyroid. A lot of medical doctors, not everyone, but a lot of medical doctors will just look at TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone. And that hormone comes from a gland in the brain, the pituitary, and it's basically telling or sending a signal to the thyroid to make hormone. If it keeps having to send a signal, you know, constantly telling the thyroid to make hormone, then the thyroid's not responding. And if it's not responding, then the thyroid's low. So the higher the signal goes from the pituitary, the lower the thyroid function. And my analogy is, there's a mom that's telling a kid to pick up their toys, and you keep having to say, pick up your toys, the more you have to tell them, then the kid's not responding. So in that sense, TSH should be between 1 and 2, ideally. A lot of doctors wait until it's at 5. Or 4 even, 4, 5, 6, 7, and they're like, oh, your thyroid's fine. And
wow,
it's not.
That's a big difference.
It's a big difference, but there's an optimal level as opposed to a disease level. And most naturopaths want to keep people in optimal health, not wait till you get a disease process going on. And on the reference ranges and labs that you see, mm-hmm. by the time you reach the low end of the reference range or the high end of the reference range, there's already something going on. We narrow those reference ranges and keep people in optimal health. That way, if you start to go outside of those optimal health ranges, you're showing a disease process. So plus, TSH is only part of your thyroid. You have to check T4, which is the hormone the thyroid makes, mm-hmm. and T3, which is the hormone that the body makes from T4. T3 is the active form. That's the form your body really wants. T4 is really not active. So you can have tons of T4 in your body, but if you don't convert it to T3, it doesn't matter. So you have to look at those as well, plus the antibodies against the thyroid, which are really important.
And this will be all diagnosed via a blood test.
Yes.
And it will tell you if we're functioning or not functioning. I think the yes. I think the key to this is that, and this is what I said to Dr. Leah, I don't feel necessarily any different. But in the meantime, my labs are not where they should be. So what's happening is my body is overcompensating mm-hmm. to get to the optimal level. I'm mm-hmm. just fighting it,
perfect.
Not realizing that right. I'm fighting it. But my body is working harder to get me. My pituitary gland is saying, make thyroid.
Right.
And I'm not realizing that my body's doing that.
Right. And see, that's the thing that's a hard thing for some people to understand
yes.
is that if you're hypothyroid, you might not necessarily have the symptoms of being cold, dry skin, constipation, exactly. hair loss. You might not have those. But then when you're put on thyroid, I'll also hear from people, well, I don't notice any difference.
That
tells me that your thyroid's low.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I had a person that had good thyroid function and I put them on thyroid, they would be insomnia, heart palpitations, diarrhea. They would not feel good because it's too much.
Well, now that's interesting to know.
That's too high.
That's good to know that if we're not having any of those, we're obviously not too high.
Right. And so if you put someone on thyroid medicine and they go, well, this stuff's not working, I don't notice anything, then you know it's
right.
not the right dose because you want them to feel a difference. You want them to feel more stamina or feel like they have more motivation. They can also help with sleep to a certain extent. People can actually benefit.
So you keep increasing it until you get to the right level, because I know what you did with Rochelle is you tested it,
yeah.
and then you went back and said, okay, I'm going to put you on this much, and then you went back and said, okay, it's not where it needs to be yet, so let's raise
right.
it a little. So
right.
it's very controlled, which I think is great.
And it has to be a stair step. If you do
yes.
too much, like maybe you need a full grain or 65 milligrams of thyroid, but if I put you on that right away, it might be too much too fast.
Right.
And so you start someone on half a grain
which
or 30 milligrams.
Which is where you started
and then
me,
you go
and now
up.
We're going to another quarter.
Exactly.
So I'm going to be at 3/4.
Right. And then we're talking about Armour thyroid. Also, there's also another form called Nature thyroid, which is the same. And it's just a stair step approach to get someone to the right dose. And your blood's telling me your TSH mm-hmm. and your T3 and T4 are telling me if it's at the right level or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not quite there. So
and I'm getting my blood tests. Absolutely,
well, I think it's important
am.
To continue to do that. But I my example would be I've been on 60, which sounds like that's a full gram, right?
Full grain. Yeah.
Grain.
Yeah.
And for a long time, and doesn't seem to have gotten up there. So something else must be going on.
It could be adrenals.
Yeah.
It could be estrogen. But also, if you had your thyroid removed or you needed a full thyroid
right.
replacement of hormones,
right.
3 to 4 grains is not uncommon. I even have some people that are
wow.
have a still have their thyroid, but they're taking 3 to 4 grains. So 1 grain is not outrageously a lot.
Okay.
It really
That's
isn't.
Well, we have a caller who's asked, he had to go through the tunnel, but he said, is it appropriate to use just T3?
I don't usually use just T3 because it is very stimulating. The synthetic form of T3 is Cytomel. And see, what our thyroid makes is T4. Mm-hmm. What that really is a tyrosine molecule, which is an amino acid, with 4 iodines on it. That gets sent out into the body. Our body takes off one of the iodine molecules and turns it into T3, and that's the active form. When people are just on T3, they might be getting way too much stimulus. Mm. You still need some T4 because your body converts it as needed. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's ways to help your body convert it if it's not doing that good of a job. But T3 can be too stimulating for a lot of people when it's given just by itself. There's probably a few people that do just fine on maybe low doses, but the majority of people I've seen do not do well on just T3 at all. You know, it's just, you have to give really small amounts and you have to monitor it much more carefully.
Okay.
And I'm lost because I'm going, okay, no, I'm not lost about that. I'm lost about the T3, the T4.
T4, T3, yeah.
It is,
well, that's
confusing.
Why you need Dr.
You
Leah.
You have to go to a doctor.
We're not doctors. That's why Dr. Leah is
here. Well, the thyroid only makes T4.
Uh-huh.
And
oh.
then our body converts
okay,
it to T3. So T4 is made.
Okay.
Tyrosine with 4 iodines.
Okay.
That gets sent out into the bloodstream, and the different tissues of our body take off that iodine molecule. That's why iodine is so important. If your body's low in T4, you don't get the iodine to your tissues. So the different tissues in your body, your liver, your breast, your kidneys, your spleen, take off one of those iodines, turn it into T3. T3 is the active form that our body really likes.
Mm.
It's the form that gives us the energy.
Well, that must have been why he was asking
everything.
That then.
Yeah.
If I could just take T3 because that makes you feel better. You could feel something.
That's
right
an educated
now.
Listener.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a very
it
educated
is.
Listener.
Very educated.
I don't know that I could ask that question.
No. Uh-uh. That's somebody who really knows. I mean, that's interesting. Well, when you say that this turns into iodine, then there's the question again. Do I need the iodized salt?
Salt isn't really that bad. You know, there's people that are salt sensitive.
Uh-huh.
I'm salt sensitive in a way that if I don't have enough, I have problems. So
right.
I need to take...
Do you
salt food? I salt food, and I eat a lot of salt naturally. You know, I use either the sea salt or natural salts, and I sometimes will put it in my electrolyte drinks because I need more salt,
mm-hmm.
personally.
How do you know if you need it?
Well, my blood test showed my sodium levels were low. And when sodium levels are low, it can cause heart palpitations, and it can actually affect adrenal function. And adrenals love sodium. They need it to make their hormones.
Okay.
So,
well, so many foods
stuff.
Today have sodium in them, though.
But they're processed. It's the
and
processed
that's different.
Foods,
okay, that's
you know.
Different then.
Yeah.
Oh.
If you use a natural salt or you're using it yourself as opposed to getting it from your hamburgers or your french fries or something,
say,
that's
is that
different.
The blue container? Remember
yes,
the blue container?
With a little lady with a little girl on the salt.
So that's the iodine.
Well, Morton
salt is
iodized. Mm-hmm. And then there's real salt and sea salt and other forms, and some of those are iodized. They're not as controlled the amount of iodine that's in them.
And they don't say
And I've taken iodine before as well.
You have.
Because my thyroid's been low for years from all the medicine I took for my seizures when I was younger.
That's very good. That leads us to the next question about low thyroid. But we're going to take a break, so we'll be right back.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you. No pills gonna cure my ill.
Are you tired of doctors that don't listen to you? You barely get enough time to tell your doctor what's going on with you? Would you like to spend more time with your doctor so they can really answer your questions? One such doctor that can do this for you is Dr. Leah McNeil in Bellevue. She's a naturopathic doctor and practices family medicine. She does full physicals, blood work, uses herbs, vitamins, and pharmacy, if needed, to help you get better. She also does nutrition analysis and lifestyle counseling. You can reach her at 425-452-9366 or on her website at naturalmedicineforhealth.com.
The Northwest Women's Show, presented by Northwest Hospital and Medical Center, is a show that's all about you, with 500 exhibits, free seminars, free samples, fashion shows, Gilles Marini from this season's Dancing with the Stars, and Dr. Lisa Masterson from the hit show The Doctors, plus shopping with great women's show specials, March 27th through 29th at Quest Field Event Center. Show information at nwwomensshow.com. The Northwest Women's Show. It's such a girl thing.
Seattle Business Magazine is the area's must-read guide for innovators and entrepreneurs in the Puget Sound. This month, featuring the 2009 Leaders in Healthcare winners, plus how to land a startup loan, McKinstry gets an Obama bounce, bailouts for local banks, and more. Sign up now for your free subscription at seattlebusinessmag.com. Seattle Business Magazine. Inspire. Innovate. Create.
Heard it here. You learned about great people, new products, and fabulous services, all on your favorite morning talk show, Chat with Women. So if you heard it here, imagine how your business will reach the other 35,000 women who also listen to your favorite morning girlfriends. Get your business on their website, chatwithwomen.com, and see what happens next. Email your gal pals at info@chatwithwomen.com. You won't believe your ears.
For the people, by the people. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case loving you. No pills, no
return. Welcome back. You're listening to Chat with Women, and I'm Pam.
I'm Rochelle.
And we're talking to Dr. Leah McNeil, who's a regular contributor on Chat with Women, about the thyroid. And it's really an important conversation. So before we went to break, we said, let's talk about how do we treat low thyroid? What do we do for that?
There's actually a lot of different things depending on what's going on with the thyroid. And I say that like that because I've seen people with their TSH looks good and their T4 looks good, but their T3 is low. And that T4 is the hormone made by the thyroid. And that gets sent out into the blood and the body converts it. But if the body's not converting it to T4, you're not getting the active form. And so you don't feel good. And so it might look like your thyroid's okay if TSH and T4 were just checked. But in order to get your body to convert it, one of the best things that really helps is selenium. Selenium's a mineral.
Selenium.
Yeah. And it's in a lot of multis, but it's not as high as I would like to see it. And like I see it in a lot of multis at like 50 micrograms, not milligrams, micrograms. Mm-hmm. So it'll say MCG. Most of the time, if you eat about 4 or 5 Brazil nuts a day, that gives you kind of the daily allowance. So it's high in Brazil nuts, but not a lot of other things are really high.
That's other nuts, huh?
But Brazil nuts, a lot of people don't like those.
No, and they're hard to crack, too.
They're hard. Well, yeah, you can get them shelled. I end up putting most people on a supplement, like 200 micrograms a day, because it's so good for the liver. It helps to make glutathione, which is a natural antioxidant made by your liver. Mm. It's really good for the immune system, which, you know, we need right now. And it helps to convert T4 to T3. Mm. So it has a lot of benefits, and it does, it's a very inexpensive mineral. And it's you can buy like 2 months worth for $7. You know, it's very inexpensive.
Like a good deal. We like cheaper that. Than Brazil nuts.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you something, Dr. Leah. Let's say, like me, you've put me on thyroid. Pam's on thyroid. What are we going to see? What are the benefits we're going to see? How are we going to feel? What are we going to know?
You should know if it's the right dose.
Okay.
Now most people, and like you, Rochelle, you're a little contrary.
When you
start taking thyroid, if it's the right dose, you feel like you have more energy and stamina throughout the day. Your hair, if it was falling out, slowly starts to stop. It's not an instantaneous thing. Your bowels will move easier since it helps with constipation. So you can have sleep problems with low thyroid as well as with high thyroid, but some people start to sleep better. They can lose weight easier. Their skin gets more moist. I mean, they start to just feel better. I can't tell someone exactly how they're going to change.
Right.
Because everybody's symptoms are a little different to start with.
But those are the things that should take place.
Yeah, those things, they feel warmer. Like some people are just cold all the time, and so they start to feel warmer. It enhances your metabolism in general, and so that's just going to help. But I hear a lot of people say, you know, I just have a better well-being. I feel like I have more stamina throughout the day. And not so much that they are charged up, but they just feel like they can flow through the day without getting exhausted.
Yeah, they don't hit the skids at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
So now what if you have high thyroid? We were talking at break. There's not a lot of people that have high thyroid, but it can be bad if you have high thyroid as well.
High thyroid is, I wouldn't want to be hyperthyroid. Hyperthyroid or high thyroid can cause severe anxiety, insomnia, diarrhea, weight loss, and most women really notice the anxiety. It can cause heart palpitations, and that's a sign if I start someone on thyroid and they're taking too much, that's the signs of too much thyroid.
Oh.
And it's not a fun thing. If someone is not on thyroid and they have those symptoms, definitely get your thyroid checked. Usually with hyperthyroid, the treatment is radiation to the thyroid. Like the classic treatment. There are some herbals that can be used to slow the thyroid down and some dietary stuff. I honestly don't see hyperthyroid that much. I see drug-induced hyperthyroid, meaning from thyroid hormone, and that's easily changed. But I don't see the true somebody presents with hyperthyroid that's not on thyroid. I don't see that very much. It's definitely not as common. Hypo or low thyroid is so highly underdiagnosed. And I see it rampantly in the other naturopath I work with, and a lot of other doctors see a lot of it. So that one's by far more common.
Why is that, Dr. Lee? Why is that? Is it our age? Is this something that happens to young people as well?
It can. It can be from an autoimmune process.
Okay.
The other two things I check on lab are something called TPO and TG. They're antibodies that can affect the thyroid. And if they're high on your lab, they cause autoimmune thyroid problems. One's called Hashimoto's, which is low thyroid, or Graves' disease, which is hyper, but can eventually cause the thyroid to drop and be low. So those have to be looked at, because you can have those your whole life, or you can have those passed on through the family. There's times where everybody has it in the family because it's a genetic pass it on.
Interesting.
So those have to be looked at too. And in the last 3 years, when I really started consistently checking those, I'm shocked at the number of people that have really high levels.
Really?
And when you see those in the body, it's harder to shift the thyroid. But one thing that really helps, actually, to lower antibodies for the thyroid or antibodies for any autoimmune is vitamin D. So vitamin D.
There we go.
D.
There's our vitamin D again.
Vitamin D. Let's talk about vitamin D. Let's bring that on.
Magical, we found.
It's a great vitamin, and it helps to modulate, as they say, modulate the immune system. So if your immune system's hyper, like in an autoimmune process.
Meaning
it's too active. Okay. Your immune system's looking at every little antibody and attacking it because it thinks it's bad, and these antibodies might be good.
Right.
And so that's how people get arthritis.
Or
autoimmune thyroid problems or scleroderma or some autoimmune process. The immune system's too active.
Okay.
It's overactive. So vitamin D can calm that down. Just as vitamin D can boost up the immune system if it's underactive and you're getting sick.
Well, that was what we were going to say, that vitamin D is good if you're feeling like you're coming down with a cold.
Yes. Yeah, grab your vitamin C as well, but take some extra vitamin D, and hopefully everybody's taking some vitamin D.
Well, after listening to you, Dr. Leah, the world is listening to you taking vitamin D.
Oh, we don't get enough.
And especially here, because we don't get any sunshine.
Right.
Because that is the true derivative, is the sun gives you vitamin D. But if we're not on it, you know, if we're not taking a supplement, you really should be taking a supplement.
You really should. And actually, there's been some cases of rickets
not having vitamin D?
From not having it. Really? Vitamin D deficiency is rickets, and it can actually cause bowing or softening of the bones. Because the main thing vitamin D does is to increase calcium to the bone. But they've also found that it has so many other benefits with the immune system. But everybody should be on vitamin D. It's a worldwide epidemic. It's not just here. It's in Saudi Arabia.
It's everywhere.
It's in Hawaii, because it's blocked by sunscreen,
exactly,
which we all want to wear. And then when we cover up, of course. So I have a friend who lives in Hawaii who comes over to visit her mom, and I drew her vitamin D levels, and they were low.
Isn't that interesting?
She's always covered up, and she wears sunscreen otherwise.
That's why.
So it's like, that's ridiculous, you know, if you think about it.
I think I heard, and I think it could have been from you, Dr. Leah, 10 minutes of the sun. is really all you need in order.
10 minutes at the right latitude.
10 minutes at the right latitude.
Oh,
it might be 20 minutes here.
Okay.
And then you're talking if you just have your underwear on. You know, not just your arms.
Yeah, no.
Oh, see that? You sit in the backyard in your underwear.
I thought it was the arms.
Well, maybe if you live in Los Angeles.
No, I thought here. So that's not true. So it depends on where you're at, and it depends on what's exposed and how much.
Yeah. And there's
Let's talk about Seattle. What do we do here?
Well, in the wintertime, you're not going to get
enough, but in the summer.
Even if it's sunny in the winter, because the angle at the sun is at the atmosphere when the vitamin, when the UVB rays get through the atmosphere to us, they're degraded. And the UVB rays are the vitamin D rays.
Okay.
So they, I've read in studies, 38 degrees latitude and north, you're not getting enough. And that's Los Angeles.
Is
so Los Angeles North, you're not getting enough vitamin D, period, even if it's in the summer. Because by the time spring, summer hits us, we're so deficient from the winter, we don't get our levels built up enough.
Well, they need to come in and see you and get their levels tested, for heaven's sakes.
Well, and I have to tell you why. I went to Mexico, and I was in the sun before I had my vitamin D, and I did it specifically. So I was in Mexico, I was in the sun, and then I came to Dr. Leah and had my blood pulled immediately. And I was vitamin D deficient.
Yeah, you were low.
So I certainly was. So it doesn't matter that you've gone down there for a weekend or a week. You're going
it
to
takes
be
a while to get built up. It's a fat-soluble vitamin, so it takes a while. I had a patient who was taking 5,000 a day, which is what I put most patients on, 5,000 units. She was taking that, and she went to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And she was there for a couple weeks, and she's a sun goddess. You know, so she barely put sunscreen on. She was laying out there, and I drew her blood when she came back. Now, the reference range is 33 to 100.
Right.
And even if it goes up above a little bit above 100, it's not a big deal if it's long term. Hers were 112. But I thought, you know, it's only 112 when she's been out in the sun that much and taking her vitamin D while she was down there. And then when she came back, it dropped.
Well, we want to say to everyone how important this is, and they need to come and see you. So please give out your information, Dr. Leah.
I'm in Bellevue at 425-452-9366. And my website is naturalmedicineforhealth.com. And all my information is also on chatwithwomen.com.
Well, all these tips for the last year and a half almost are on our site.
That's right.
And so they can go learn things that we were talking about. We've talked about every topic you can imagine. And we want to make sure
and
that everyone knows. And more to come. So thank you, Dr. Leah, for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.